What is it about this psalm? What is it about Psalm 23? Millions of people have memorized this psalm. And though I can't see you, I'm willing to bet that many of you didn't even have to look at the words once when Sandy led us in reciting Psalm 23 a few moments ago. What is it about this psalm that has caused us to do that? Many ministers, myself included, we have read the 23rd Psalm at countless memorial services and at the graveside. What is it about this psalm? I have visited with persons experiencing significant dementia, some of whom no longer recognize me or even their family. Yet they can still recite most, if not all, of this psalm. Why is that? What is it about the 23rd Psalm that both my grandmothers had this cross-stitched onto pillows? Why is it that we turn to this psalm in the face of incredible personal trials, at times of terrible illness, when we as communities are grieving, and even at the point of death? What is it about the 23rd Psalm that compels us to share these timeless words, even today, in the midst of an international health crisis? I have been asking myself these questions all week. And for me, the beauty of Psalm 23 lies not in the splendid writing or the word pictures the psalmist paints for us. The beauty for me lies in its truth. That is, this psalm proclaims what we know to be true. That in the midst of good times and bad, in spite of sadness and failure, joy and togetherness, our true home is with God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. His rod and staff, they are comforting to me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. How could David write or say these words? Had he forgotten about his past, all the brokenness and violence and pain? I don't think so. Does he suddenly believe that life with God is all roses all the time? Certainly not. For if you slow down and read this psalm closely, church, you will notice that David tells us that even with God at our side, we will still walk through valleys as dark as death. And yes, God does prepare a table for us. But it is in the presence of whom? Our enemies. David knows that life with God is wonderful, no doubt about that. But just as he has joy, he also has heartbreak. Just as he has provision, he also has want. Just as he has safety, there is also danger. And despite his having peace, there is also worry. As I say, the beauty of this psalm is its truth. Because isn't this how we experience life as well? Even though we lie down in green pastures and feel the comfort of our God leading us, sometimes life deals us a bad hand. What then? What shall we do when our well runs dry and our joy blows away? What shall we do when cancer arrives and annihilates our defenses? What shall we do when love promised forever crumbles apart? What shall we do when every passing day, the morning and nightly news seem to paint a more dire picture of this virus's spread? What then? Do we turn to the 23rd Psalm because it reminds us of a simpler time when the preacher only spoke King James English? Do we read this psalm because we think it contains some sort of sappy, saccharine, simplistic aphorisms about a life of faith? No. No, we turn to the 23rd Psalm because it tells us the truth. And that is this: if there is to be any encouragement, any comfort, any hope, it comes from God, our good and constant shepherd. That alone means we do not have to fear. For my money, Walter Brueggemann is one of our best theologians and biblical scholars living today. At one of his lectures, a packed room was expecting a highly researched scholarly discussion on some topic. I've now forgotten what the topic was. But instead of waxing eloquently about said topic, instead, Dr. Brueggemann asked everyone in the room to put down their pencils, put down their notepads, and close their eyes. He then asked those in attendance to recall a time when, as a child, they were frightened, lying in bed at night, sure that those shadows on the bedroom wall were of a burglar or a monster. Dr. Brueggemann says, perhaps you heard the bumps and the creaks on the stairway, and you thought something horrible was surely just about to happen. Perhaps you heard a clap of thunder, and it jolted you to the core. Remember how frightened you were, he said. Now, Brueggemann continued, remember calling out, Mom, Dad, out of the darkness in terrible fear. And in your mind's eye, you see your mom or your dad appearing, scooping you up into their arms and saying, it's okay. Shh, I'm here. Don't be afraid. That, Brueggemann said, is the fundamental, primary, and consistent message of the Bible. I'm here, my child. Don't be afraid. In fact, Brueggemann concluded, you can summarize all of Scripture in three words. Don't be afraid. That's the message of Psalm 23. Don't be afraid. And I don't know about you, But I need to hear those words today, perhaps more than ever before. I think it's important to note that the psalm immediately preceding this one, Psalm 22, is that very famous psalm which our Lord Jesus quotes upon the cross. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Read together, perhaps Psalm 23 is the answer to Psalm 22. We may feel forsaken. We may feel abandoned and all alone. We may even walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we do not have to fear, because God is with us. River Road Church, we will get through this. It won't be easy. We must make sacrifices, and we may want to give up, and we may want to give in. But church, here is what I believe, just as sure as I am standing here. I believe that we will get through this because we will rely on what we know to be true. That as we journey through this and every crisis of our lives, God will always be with us. In His own flesh and in His own spirit, our Lord Jesus embodies the true spirit, the true meaning of Emmanuel, God with us, always, no matter what. "For thou art with me." Friends, because God is with us, we have nothing to fear. Now, this does not mean we will act irresponsibly. We must continue to practice isolation out of an abundance of caution and out of an abundance of compassion. But we do not have to fear. We can boldly continue to be the people that God has created us to be. Now is the time for us to do that. You know, standing in this sanctuary, I wish so much that all of you were here too. But there is a silver lining here. I do not mean to make light of our social distancing and our isolation from one another, but there is a silver lining here. As I stand here in this sanctuary, I am reminded of how much I love this beautiful building at the corner of River and Ridge. But again, there is a silver lining to the fact that we are not worshiping here together. And that is that we are learning once again that church is not so much a place as it is a calling. Now is the time for us to live into that high and holy calling to be the church. That means our ministry continues. You and I, we will pray for the sick. We will care for each other. We will check in on the lonely. We will love our neighbors. And above all, we will trust in God. We will live without fear, for we know that God, our good shepherd, is always with us. For thou art with me. And in doing so, we will bring light and hope and love into a world that is so desperate to receive it. For thou art with us. Amen.